Psalm 23. This is a favorite psalm of the sheep, isn't it? And because it's all about the shepherd. There's no greater comfort can be found than this psalm. Once again, I've been reading through the Psalms. You know, no sooner finished than I start again. And every psalm was wonderful, but I came to this and it spoke to my heart, so I hope it speaks to yours tonight. This is for sheep. Only sheep need a shepherd. Only sheep need a shepherd. You know, his name has their name in it. Shepherd. They're one. Sheep and a shepherd. Sheep herder. Sheep. You got to be a sheep to love this psalm, to need a shepherd. Sheep, as you know, many times we've considered, they're fearful. Very fearful creatures because they have so many enemies. They're needy. Totally needy and dependent creatures. They're one of the most helpless creatures on earth, the sheep. They're easy prey. Easy prey. Every predator goes after them. And they're dirty. They may look white, but they're dirty. They need washed constantly. They're susceptible to many things, many problems. They're always hungry and thirsty. It seems like all they do is eat. Blessed are the hungry and thirsty. And they eat one thing. Grass. They congregate. They flock together. They have to. There's no lone sheep out there. They have to have one another. They follow the shepherd. They follow the shepherd. Sheep are owned. Goats can be wild out there on their own. They don't need anybody. They'll eat anything. Goats. But sheep, they're domestic creatures. They're owned by somebody. We're the Lord's sheep. Our Lord said that, didn't he, in John 10. My sheep, my sheep. Are you a sheep? Did I describe you? And you, like David, may say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I picture, every time I think of this psalm, I picture David, who was a shepherd. From a boy, he was a shepherd. He was a good shepherd. He never lost sheep. Such a picture of Christ he is. I picture him out on the hillside as an older man. And I picture him sitting out on a grassy knoll looking out over the flock of sheep. Maybe someone else is watching them, but he's thinking back how the Lord, what all the Lord has done for him all his life. Our Lord said that to David, didn't he? I took you from following the sheepfold and made you king of Israel. Look what all I've done for you. So he wrote this psalm and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah, the Lord God, Jehovah is my shepherd. Now, let's read it this way. Okay, you can read this several ways. You remember Isaac, or Abraham saying to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The Lord, thee, is only one. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah is our God. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He watches over me, provides for me. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Well, he's the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Lots of people refute that, but he is. God the Father is Jehovah, God the Son is Jehovah, and God the Holy Spirit is Jehovah. These three are one in essence and power and person and purpose and all that. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, is Jehovah, the eternally existent one. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said this I am the good shepherd. We read that. I will seek my sheep. There were love. Christ said that of himself. So there's no doubt that he is Jehovah, the Lord. And this God, this Lord is my God, and I am his. Didn't you love that last part of that, John? That you're my flock, the sheep of my pasture. You're just men, and I'm your God. Didn't you love that? The Lord is my shepherd. I belong to him, and he's mine. He's mine. He owns me. We own him as our Lord, and he owns us. We've been bought, been given to him by the Father, and he's bought us with a price. So we belong to him. Shepherd. Shepherd is the owner of the flock, ruler over the flock. Shepherd is the provider over the flock, for the flock. The shepherd is the protector of the flock. He's the companion of the flock. He will never leave those sheep, a good shepherd. He's the friend of the flock. He's the savior of the flock, of the sheep. And we shall see in this what a great and good and chief shepherd we have. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not need ever need anything. Anything. There is no want to them that fear him, Psalm 34 says. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good. He said, the young lions may lack and suffer, but my sheep, my people will never lack for anything. Why? Because he's the Lord that provides. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord our shepherd, is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. His name, Brother David Pledger first pointed this out in a message when we were down there. He preached from this, and Mindy and I were there years ago. He pointed out how all these names of Jehovah are found in this song. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Jehovah Sidkenu, verse 3, in paths of righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, Lord our peace, verse 4. Peace, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, he's with me, gives me peace. The Lord that is present, verse 4, he's with me always. So all of his name are found here. David says, I shall not want, and neither shall we. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down. Animals of prey, like sheep or horses, they're born to run. The Lord has given them a defense mechanism. If they up on their feet, and they have so many enemies that they have to be able to walk and run quickly after they're born. And they're prone to run, aren't they? They have so many enemies. And they will not lie down. These prey animals will not lie down to sleep unless they're real comfortable. Isn't that right, Kevin? They've got to be real comfortable to lie down. A lot of horses sleep standing up, don't they? Same with sheep. If they've got a good master and a good shepherd, they just lie right down and fall asleep. Nothing to worry about. No enemies. He maketh me to lie down. This you're looking at a former wild ass's colt. I was swift to run to mischief. I was running wild, but God made me lie down. Like that Gadarene demoniac. Clothed me and sat me down in my right mind at his feet. Stopped my wild career, made me. Aren't you glad the Lord makes us do things? Most people don't want to be made to do anything. I do. Makes me to lie down. Isn't that what you have to do to your dog? Well, lie down now. Sit. Heal. If you don't, they'll run off and get killed. So he makes us to lie down, be still, and know that I'm God. If you know He's God, you'll lie down. You'll sit. You rest in Him. You trust Him. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pasture. The margin says pastures of tender grass. Oh, the blessed, tender pastures of God's Word. Don't you love it? Them. Don't you love it? I know many, if not most of you, have done this. A beautiful early summer day. If you're out in a field somewhere, green grass. If you ever do that, just lie down in that green grass and put your hands behind your back, look up at that blue sky. Isn't that wonderful? What do you do? Fall asleep. You rest. Nothing like it. Do you ever find yourself reposing and resting in God's Word? Looking at the Son of Righteousness with healing in His way? Just basking in His light? And just, what do? He rests. Oh, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green pasture. Green, it means fresh. Green means new. Green means healthy. Children, eat your greens. My parents used to make me eat my greens. Abby, I didn't like greens when I was a kid. You know what? It's my favorite food now. It's my favorite food. This is my favorite food. I don't read much anything anymore. I used to read a lot of different books. Not anymore. I get real tired of it. I don't need that. Boy, I need this. Green pastures, greens. Love them. Love God's Word. It's these pastures of tender grass. My favorite thing on earth is sit or read or hear read and preach God's Word. Green pastures. He leadeth me. Verse 2. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort brought. You want to be led? You need to be led? You're a sheep, you are. I need to be made to do things, and I need to be led. I need a halter on me. I want a halter on me at all times. And a short lead rope. Don't you get it? I need it. Our Lord, He leads us. He gathers us. He draws us with the cords of man. And that wild ass's colt, remember when He sent some men to go in and get that colt? He said, loose him. Well, they didn't take his halter or his rope off of him. But He said, bring him to me. So He became the Lord's. He belonged to the Lord now, doesn't he? He's not his own. He belongs to the Lord. And the Lord made him willing. And the Lord rode him. And that's the way we are. We're not free to do as we please. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. I want to be led. I want to be led. Beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Waters of quietness. His Word alone can still our soul. His Word speaks of Him, doesn't it? He is the green pastures. He is the still water. Our Lord is the water of life. He said, be still and know that I'm the Lord. Christ is the Word. Christ is the water of life. He's the one that satisfies our thirst. He's the one that stills our soul. Perhaps the thing that is as soothing as lying in a green pasture is lying by a body of water in it. You ever done that? Lie by a creek or a brook or a river or whatever, and just the sound of water. Any of you go to sleep, the sound of water running? One time it woke me up, it had a leak. But water has a soothing effect on you, doesn't it? Yeah? You lie by a river or a stream or an ocean, you're laying on the beach on a nice day, and those waves lapping again. Whew, that's soothing. All your troubles just go away. That's God's Word, isn't it? Still water, soul still in water, God's Word. And all of that restores our soul. God's Word, Christ crucified, He restoreth my soul. Notice all of this is in the present tense. He maketh, He leadeth, He restoreth, He leadeth, He prepareth. Notice that? It's all in the present tense. Not He did, but He doth and ever shall. He restoreth my soul. Restore. He maketh, He leadeth, He restoreth my soul. Our Lord restored my soul. When? On Calvary's tree. Before I was ever born, He paid the price of my redemption. He bought me with a price. I was His before I was born. Okay? And it was done. It's finished on Calvary's tree. I had to be born and had to be born again, but that's when He bought me and paid the price for my soul. He restored, and He restoreth my soul. I need constant restoration, don't you? I need constant restoring. Brother Barnard used to say, that man had some wisdom. And he said this, you only need two books, a Bible and a dictionary. And it's true. Listen to the dictionary definition of restore. Listen very carefully, okay? The word restore means to return something to its former condition. Man was created upright. Man was created sinless. Man was holy and righteous, wasn't it? Huh? Well, we lost that. Image of God, we lost that. He restoreth my soul. Restore means to bring back to health and good spirits. He restoreth my soul. When He found me, my whole head was sick, my heart was faint, from the sole of my feet to the top of my head, no soundness in me, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying soul. But the good Samaritan came back. He restoreth my soul. Restore means to return to its owner. Return to its owner, its rightful owner. Restore him to the one who owns him. He restoreth my soul. Brought me back to God who owns me. How? By the gospel. By the gospel, that's as the green pastures and the water of His word. He leadeth me, verse 3, in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. As I said, I want to be made to lie down. I need to be led. And He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This black sheep was going astray. This black sheep was going his own way. But God sent the shepherd to find me and lead me in paths of righteousness. This prodigal was in the hog pen. But He sent the Holy Spirit to make me know, to bring me to see myself and bring me back to the Father. Restore me to my Father. And He turns me and brought me and He leads me in paths of righteousness. That's Christ, isn't it? Christ is our righteousness. He set my feet in paths of righteousness. Look at Psalm 25, right across the page, verse 4. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Verse 5. Lead me in Thy truth. Teach me. Thou art my God, the God of my salvation. Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant, believe His gospel, His testimony. All the paths of the Lord lead to Jesus Christ. I look back, do you look back on your life and see how that everything God did led you to this point? A man down at a church in Crossfield, he came up and was talking to me, and like so many of us, he was here and he was there, and now he's there under the gospel and loving every minute of it. And he said, all my life has led me, the Lord has led me all my life to this point, right here. And he did it for His name's sake. For His name's sake, you see. He is the Lord. He is the Lord our righteousness. So He leads us in paths of righteousness. He is the Lord our peace, so he made peace by the blood of his cross. He is the Lord our provider, so he provided himself a lamb for me. He is the Lord our healer, so he healed our sin sick soul. He is the Lord our Savior, and that's what he did. He is the Lord our shepherd, so he keeps us. That's his name, you see. He couldn't wear the name if that's not what he did. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. If he didn't save every one of them, then that's, he doesn't wear the name well. He's Savior. Verse 4 says, yea. Yea. Every time I see that, it means yes. It means amen. Yes. That's the way it is. That's who he is. But I think of a cheer, don't you? Yay. The Lord, yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley, this valley, this vale of tears, death cast a shadow over it all. And most everyone has this fear of death, this bondage, this fear of death. It casts a shadow over everything. But we don't need to fear shadows, do we? When I was a child, I feared shadows. Didn't you? Feel the fear of the darkness? Do you fear the darkness now? You fear? Well, don't answer that. You shouldn't. The point is, you shouldn't be afraid of shadows. It's just a shadow. It's not the substance, he said. It's like the shadows, types and shadows of the Old Testament are not Christ. They represent Christ. We don't worship those things. We don't use these things as objects of worship. We worship Him. But death casts a shadow, and death is a mystery to most, but Christ removed the mystery of death. Christ lived and Christ died. Christ went into the tomb, went into the darkness of that tomb, and they rolled a stone over that door. We're going to look at Lazarus on Sunday, where the Lord said, roll away that stone. He was in darkness. And our Lord went into the darkness of that tomb, didn't he? Well, 3 days later, I was stone with him. He came walking out. And every time he appeared to his disciples after that, three different times, he said, peace be unto thee. Fear not. We don't need to fear death. He removed the mystery of it, the darkness of it, the mystery of it. Scripture says he abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel. So we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but it's just a shadow. We're not die. Christ said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? He says, I'll fear no evil. David did get afraid, didn't he? But then he would write that time, when I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Psalm 27, whom shall I fear? Or what shall I be afraid? I'll fear no evil. Though evil is all around us, we shouldn't fear any evil. Why? Verse 4, because thou art with me. The good shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, is with us. Listen to Psalm 16. This is a psalm of Christ, but Psalm 16, verse 8, listen to it. It says, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Peter quoted this in Pentecost. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Thou art with me. Listen to this. Psalm 90. And we should read this all the time. Psalm 90, Psalm 91. It says in Psalm 91... On 91, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee. Why? He gives his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their way, because the Lord is with thee. That's why. Be not afraid. It is I, he said to them in the midst of that storm. It is I. Thou art with me. Verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff. Now this is one and the same thing. Shepherd's staff. Shepherd's staff. As a rod. You've seen this many times. It's pretty much a poor representation of it. But a shepherd's crook or staff, much longer than it, about that tall. And they have a bent end on like that, keep from injuring the sheep when they put it around the neck. But it's pretty good. But the rod is this part. This whole thing's a staff to lean on. Now, rod, though, comfort me. The rod of a shepherd was used for several things. Number one is to beat off the foe. The wolves come. That rod. Christ is the rod in him. The rod was used to chasten sheep. Your dad ever take a rod to you? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And the staff, the shepherd's staff, is what we lean upon. The word of God is what we lean upon. The rod also was used to number the sheep. 2, 3, 4. There's John. There's Mary. There's Sarah. That's right. He knows his sheep. He numbers them. And the staff, the shepherd's staff, had a crook on it. And it wasn't short, like I said. It wasn't too short. He's able to reach out and his sheep, wandering sheep, and pull it to himself. That's the staff, the rod and the staff. That comforts you. Our Lord, you may run from him, but his arm's not short. He's going to bring you back. Draw you back. His rod and his staff, that's the word of God. That's Christ. That's Christ. He'll bring you back to himself. Lay hold of you, turn you, and bring you back. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me, the presence of mine enemies. Gospel table. It's a bountiful table. It's a smorgasbord. One of the writers said a veritable plethora of good things. I kind of like that. Plethora. That means it's just full of good things. The gospel is full of mercy, love, and grace, and comfort, and pardon, and peace. And he gives us this gospel table. He prepares this table in the midst of our enemies, in the presence of our enemies. Our Lord said, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. The enemies everywhere. A lot of unseen enemies. There's enemies without, there's enemies within. So he brings us into his house and prepares his table for us in the midst of our enemies, and it like lying beside the still waters, and it restores our soul. We sit and we eat and we nourish our souls and we get strength for the battle out there. I've told you that I love to read these seafaring books, used to, got a whole bunch of them. But one particular old sea captain I love to read of, he was so calm and so confident and so such an example to his men that they would be under fire and the enemy's guns would be aimed at them and they'd be firing these guns at them, and the captain knew they were out of range, and he had the ship out of range, and they'd be firing these guns and the men would be shaking and be afraid, and the captain acted like he wasn't the least bit afraid. And he'd have his men sit down and eat a meal. Sit down, he'd serve wine, and he'd be smiling and looking at them and in the midst of his enemies. And what that did was it gave them comfort. It gave them trust and confidence in their captain. He's not worried. He knows those guns can't reach us. And then they'd eat a big meal and prepare for battle. They go out to the battle. So he prepares us a table in the midst of the presence of our enemy. Our Lord did just that right before he went to the cross, didn't he? He fed his disciples. He broke bread and fed them bread and gave them wine right before he faced our foe. I believe he was smiling and enjoying himself. He said that. He said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. Right in the midst of his enemy and our. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 133, which you know well. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment, oil, upon the head, oil of gladness, upon the head that ran down. See, this all comes from Christ, doesn't it? Comes down from God through Christ, upon our head, Christ our head, ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that's the high priest. And went down to the skirts of his garment. It's like the dew of Hermon, the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. That's where the Lord commanded to bless him. This is where the Lord commanded to bless him. This is where he said, I'll comfort you. Anoint your head with oil. Where the Holy Spirit is present. And he goes on to say, the blessing is life forevermore. Life forevermore. My cup runneth over. How about you? My cup runneth over. Because Christ emptied himself. Of his fullness have all we received. Grace for grace. Because Christ drained the cup of God's wrath dry. There is no wrath for me. But my cup runneth over with mercy and love and grace and goodness. He said one time, he said, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's exactly, he gave. And it's just pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My cup runneth over. Surely. Listen to how this ends. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely. You sure about that? Surely. Why? That's his name, isn't it? The surety. Surely. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days. Surely. That's his name. Amen is his name. Surely. Whatever happens, goodness is going to follow. Whatever happens, goodness will follow. Whatever it is mercy. Because the Lord is good, because the Lord is merciful, full of mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All things work together for good. Always, all days, all things. Because Christ is all. Surely goodness and mercy. And you've heard this illustration, but shepherds often use sheep dogs to help in rounding up their sheep and to guard them and defend them and bring them into the fold. On sheep dog. Maybe that's the name of the Lord's sheep dog, goodness and mercy. Maybe you read this recently. This is true. It just happened recently. A man in Decatur, Georgia had a sheep farm, had a flock of sheep, and he had a great white Pyrenees dog. That's the dog of choice for shepherds now. And this great white Pyrenees dog, a pack of 11 wolves, coyotes, 11 coyotes attacked the sheep. One dog. 11 coyotes. That dog killed 8 of those coyotes. And the other three ran away. And that dog was injured bad. That dog bled bad. And he went away. He went away. But he came back. Alive. Sheep were unharmed. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life. He's not going to let anything bad happen to you. Do you understand that? Why? Because that's his name. Shepherd. And he has his faithful ones that watch over his angels. He's given his angels charge of it. And he says this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can you be sure, David? Well, because he said so. He said so, didn't he? Didn't he, John? Didn't he say, our Lord, right before he went to the cross, did he say, I go to prepare a place for you? Didn't he? Who? Who's he talking to? Simon Peter. Simon ran off. Simon denied him. Our Lord can't deny himself. He can't. He won't deny us. Simon was ashamed to own him. Our Lord not ashamed to call us men. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. You get to be in the big house. David said, one thing have I desired. Is this your desire? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'll seek after. Okay. What is it, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord. So our Lord says, okay, okay, you will dwell with me in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. All right, stand with me.